Welcome to the Bobbycast, episode 234. We'll talk about the biggest feuds in music. Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio starts the quarantine playlist. And, you know, I think in the next episode, we'll do movies about music, Mike.
Cool.
So that'll be the next one.
It's where you and Mike get together and share your expertise.
No, he does a podcast about movies.
Movies and music.
So I wanted to bring in his favorite three movies about music.
I got it.
Have we done that with us?
No, I think you guys have talked about some of your favorites, but...
We talked about music movies, like biopics.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what he's going to do his...
Oh, yeah, we've done our list.
We have?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, so we have a lot to do this episode. And by the way, we're quarantined. We ain't got crap else to do.
So this could be a 2-hour longer.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan podcast. He sits there for 4 hours. I had a friend who, by the way, the biggest podcast in the world. Love it. I think he's great. I have a lot of friends that have done his show, and they're like, you better use the bathroom before you go because you don't get to leave.
So what's the flow of that podcast? Just constant question after question? Are they bouncing off each other? Or
I think, Mike, you want to answer this too? Like, he talks about things that he interviews people wonderfully, and they also... He'll talk about things and bring people in and get their perspective on what he wants to talk about.
Too. Yeah, and the way I listen to it, I just listen like clips. I never sit down and listen to the full four hours or anything, but it's cool clips and he talks about cool stuff.
There you go. Cool clips and cool stuff.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
Let's start with this. Do we need to take a break before we start this or no?
No, we're good.
All right. We've been on for 1 minute.
I need to go to the restroom.
Okay. If you want to take a break, we'll go.
Zach Brown and Luke Bryan is the first feud we're going to talk about.
I don't know about this one.
It happened right when we came to Nashville. So the Zach Brown Band, lead singer of the same name? Oh, it's Zach Brown.
Zach Brown, the lead singer of Zach Brown Band.
I'm just going to tell you what, I was reading a part of an article here.
Okay.
I was going to tell, I remember Luke coming in, and I didn't know Luke Bryan very well at the time. We were new to Nashville. And being like, oh man, are you going to ask me about that Zach Brown stuff? And I was like, it just happened. And I was like, I don't know about Zach Brown's, or I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. But I think Zach Brown had insulted Luke's music.
Oh.
So here's a quote. According to Zach Brown, Luke Bryan's song, That's My Kind of Night, is, quote, the worst song I've ever heard.
That's a, I got that real good.
And this is when we first came to town, remember?
Yes.
Zach Brown said, there's songs out on the radio right now that make me ashamed to be in the same format as some other artists.
Mm.
Jason Aldean came to Luke Bryan's defense. To those people running their mouths, trust me when I tell you that nobody gives an S what you think. The two eventually made up at the 2013 CMA Awards. Carrie Underwood told the singers they have nothing to fight about. You both make great records and you're both millionaires. And then she's saying, why can't we be friends?
Oh, I love it. So she was the one that mediated.
The real weird part about this, and I am a lot closer to Luke than I am Zach. Although Zach and I have a relationship-ish. I could text him, right? Quiet guy. Kind of stays at everybody's business.
Yes.
But I will say that, you know, Luke started to make country music with some beats in it. Was one of those first guys to, you know, you hear boom, boom, heavy bass.
Yes.
You know, and some of that stuff that was called bro country at first. Mm-hmm. I think Luke's very much off of that now. But I think Zach Brown has made a bunch of weird music since this.
He did that side project.
Dance music. But even some of the country stuff, on the country chart,
he
was
dance.
He did
something with Zed, I think.
My only point is, there were artists that could have done the same thing to Zach 3 years ago and been like, what the crap is this? You have a song on country radio with a dance beat in it.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of, there's definitely a difference between, you know, you look at the style of songs content-wise, like lyrically, what they're saying, you know, like you look at Zach Brown music. A lot of his music's pretty, it's heartful. There's deep stuff in there. Highway 20 Ride, you know, even Chicken Fried,
though.
A little bit, even Chicken Fried. It's got a little depth to it. Like, is this who I am,
well, so
and this is what we do.
Drink a beer from Luke Bryan.
But then you got that. That's My Kind of Night, and it's like, this is pretty dumb, but it's fun.
And there's nothing wrong, first of all, with fun music.
No, it is fun music.
You pissed me off right now.
So I understand the feud and where
there's
it came
no,
from.
It's stupid. There's no feud. Mike, pull up Zach Brown's songs.
Okay.
I like Zach Brown.
Okay.
But
so he's going to pick up random songs.
No, but Luke's songs aren't all goofy songs.
No,
he's got a few.
A lot of them.
But so does Zach.
Okay.
Pull up Zach Brown.
Okay, I have him up.
What's his biggest streaming song?
It is knee deep. Actually, chicken fried. Okay.
Chicken fried.
So, but all from that first record, you know, the one with the brown cover?
Yes. Homegrown, I think.
And is
right?
That,
no, it's not Homegrown.
I don't think it's
that's
Homegrown.
I know.
What's the one with the dance beat that was a big song?
Someone that I used to know?
Someone that I used to know. I don't think this is the one. He had a couple. He had one that was a big country hit.
Beautiful
too.
Drug.
That's it.
Oh, Yes. Very different.
Yes. My only point is, but Zach Brown's putting goofy beats in his crap too.
I don't think it was about the beats.
But it doesn't matter. I don't listen to words, really. Melody first. Turn it up. Let's. Why don't we break this down?
He's got auto tune too.
Come on. Death wish, baby. Don't want you to say. And I don't even hate lyrics. I don't hate it. I'm totally fine with any of this. But I'm just saying that same argument about Luke's That's My Kind of Night. It's this song here.
Yeah. At the time, though, before Beautiful Drug, Zach wasn't about this.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah, he wasn't about. I'm just saying this. I understand where their feud was coming from, where Zach Brown was even trying to say.
My only point is Zach Brown went to what he was hating on.
Correct. He did, obviously, with Beautiful Drug. Sounds just like it.
And I have no problem with either one of them, by the way. Love them both.
Interesting. I didn't even know this was a thing.
I think you can make the dumbest crap, but if it makes people smile, it's no longer the dumbest crap.
Somebody told me the best thing about country music is there's room for everything in it. Mm-hmm. Did you say that?
I told you that.
Maybe it was you. You know, there's room for everything. You
ready for my hot take?
Come on.
You want to know a song? Just a great song. Baby Shark.
How does that go?
Baby Shark, do. But I'm not kidding. Any song that will elicit that much joy, period, with the melody, with the words, don't care.
Is that number one still?
No, we just
beat
it.
That's what I thought.
Wash your hands, Reggie.
Yeah.
Idiot. But do you understand my point?
I get it. I see what you're saying.
I don't care what your song's about. If you make that many people happy, your net gain is happiness.
Yes.
That you win.
Yes.
Let's stop being snobs about songs. Art. Anybody that's art snob? It's so, anyway, I hate you, Eddie.
Okay, I hate you.
Cool. But that was a feud. I remember it.
It's crazy. I didn't even see that one at all. I don't remember.
How about
it.
Travis Tritt and Billy Ray Cyrus?
Mm-mm.
Achy Breaky Heart, super successful. And when asked for his opinion, Travis Tritt called the song frivolous and said he didn't want to see country music turn into an A-wiggling contest. Bad word. A-wiggling contest.
Yeah.
Like wiggle your butt?
Yeah.
Like butt-wiggling contest?
Yes.
Billy Ray Cyrus fired back using Travis Tritt's own lyrics. Accepting favorite country single, he raised the trophy and declared, to those who don't appreciate it, here's a quarter, call someone who cares.
Oh! He used his lyric right back to him in his face.
Travis Tritt apologized and sent him a peace lily. In 2002, they performed together at the memorial for Waylon Jennings.
Because, yes, at the end of the day, it's okay.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
You guys have different music, it's okay.
At the end of the day, we're talking about...
Yeah.
Art, and it's not hurting anybody.
Right.
And there are real problems in the world.
And like Carrie said, you're both millionaires, so be quiet.
Yeah, so be good there. I just looked up one, Johnny Cash versus the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh.
Johnny Cash was once banned from the Grand Ole Opry.
What did he do, break lights?
In 1965, Cash broke the floor lights on the Opry stage.
Boom.
And the Opry was not pleased. Quote, I don't know how bad they wanted me in the first place, but the night I broke all the lights on stage with a microphone, they said they couldn't use me anymore. They eventually got over the riff, and Johnny Cash was once again allowed back to the Opry before his death.
Here's the stupid thing about that. To us telling that story, like, how awesome is that? The dude went up and started kicking all the lights, and even it's even in his movie. That scene is in the movie where he's kicking all the lights, and you watch that scene, you're like, that is a bad beep. Like, that's so cool. But can you imagine the guys at the Opry back then? What is this dude doing?
If anyone did that now?
Oh, gone. Gone.
It'd be the same thing. It's social media would be all over it, too.
Correct. Right. The Opry would be mad, and then everyone else would be really upset about it.
Leanne Rimes versus Wilbur Rimes, who's her dad.
Oh.
In 2000, Leanne Rimes filed a lawsuit against her dad, claiming he and her manager manipulated the singer and took more than $7 million of her earnings.
It's terrible.
Wilbur countersued, calling his kid a spoiled brat. The next year, Leanne Rimes cried in a Nashville courtroom as a judge refused to let her out of a recording contract with Curb Records that was approved by the request of her parents when she was 12. That sucks. Gosh, her parents signed her into a deal at 12 years old.
Dang.
By the end of November, she and the label came to an agreement, and she then re-signed with Curb, so I guess they renegotiated the deal. In 2001, she hosted the ACM Awards sporting a t-shirt reading, Daddy, and saying, tonight, I won't bother to think of my father. That same night, she met her future first husband, Dean. By the time the couple married in 2002, they had reconciled. Wilbur walked Leanne down the aisle, and suits were settled.
Okay, good.
You ever met Leanne Ryan?
No. She's been in our studio?
Yeah, she like walked in randomly once, right? We're in the middle of a segment.
Oh, right.
And we were like, what just happened?
This was a long time ago.
It's weird.
Probably about 6 years ago or so. Yeah,
she just walks in, and we're in the middle of something. And she was like, hey.
Like, is that Leanne Rimes? Like,
what just happened? And Amy's like, that's Leanne Rimes. I just saw her on Housewives.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you this. As a dad, are you allowed to call your kid a spoiled brat and not really blame yourself for that?
Yeah, yes. I'm going to say if she's being spoiled by people other than her family, let's say she's 12, 13, 14 years old, yeah, and she has record executives.
Oh, okay.
Management.
Other people on her side.
It does come back to the parents because they got to be watching all of that, but maybe they allowed her to be spoiled by someone else in the business.
Okay. But my first thought was just like, she's 12, you're dad's right, calling her spoiled brat. Right. Well, that's kind of on you, but.
Still parents, yeah. But at 12, 13, you're kind of doing your own thing a bit. And if they signed her to a record deal.
That's crazy.
Charlie Rich versus John Denver. Before there was Kanye and Taylor, there was Charlie Rich and John Denver.
Who's Charlie Rich?
You don't know Charlie Rich?
Mm-mm.
When Denver was announced, he's the old white guy who burned the at the CMAs. I think it was CMAs. He gets up and goes, and he saw that John Denver won the award, and he lit it on fire.
Oh, yes, yes. I saw this clip like 2 years ago. I remember this.
When John Denver, here it is. When John Denver was announced at the 1975 CMA Entertainer of the Year Awards, a drunk Rich set fire to a piece of paper naming his fellow singer the winner. John Denver was not there, and he appeared. Remember, and it throws to him. He's got earpieces putting in, and he's like, "Oh, I won!" He's all happy, but he can't see what happened.
Yes, because he's somewhere else via satellite.
He was like in Australia something.
That's right. This was on the documentary, the country music documentary.
Okay, so but yeah, that's how I even know who Charlie Rich is.
Wow,
it's from that clip.
And he was saying that John Denver doesn't deserve
wasn't country,
so he doesn't deserve this award.
By the way.
John Denver's
country. Can we talk about how freaking country John Denver
was? Yeah, man.
And how it's just constantly the same cycle.
Wow.
Even then, in 1975, they were upset that someone wasn't country.
Yeah.
Almost heaven.
West Virginia.
I mean, the dude's singing about West Virginia.
Blue Ridge Mountain.
Shenandoah River.
What's the name of that song? Country Roads. Yeah. Come on.
And not just that one. Other ones.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Like, thank God I'm a country boy.
What is more country than
country
thank God
boy.
I'm a country
Woo!
Boy? I think of Pauly Shore. And they're driving the...
wait, what movie is that?
Is that Son-in-Law? And they're driving, he's driving the tractor. Thank God I'm a country boy.
The whistle.
Kristen Hall versus Sugarland. Now, do you know who that is? Who she is?
I don't know who she is.
She was one of Sugarland.
Oh, the third one. Yeah.
Three became two when she left Sugarland in 2006 to concentrate on songwriting. That's what they say in the story. Mm-hmm.
Do you know something different?
I've heard many stories.
Yeah.
I don't think it was to concentrate on songwriting. I don't think you'll leave a group like that to concentrate on songwriting.
Was this at the peak, right before the peak?
It was big. They were big.
Mm.
They were starting to be big. The duo that remained went on to become one of the biggest acts in country music. She filed a $1.5 million suit against her former partners, Christian Bush and Jennifer Nettles, claiming she was promised to share the group's future earnings. The suit was settled in 2010. It's probably shouldn't go after more than that. Because $1.5 million?
Yeah.
Not a lot for what they made.
No, it's not.
Massive. Dolly Parton, Porter Wagoner. They were singing partners for a long time. And Porter Wagoner, too, also said that they were more for a while. Dolly Parton said they weren't. And so she wrote, "I Will Always Love You" for him. He filed a $3 million breach of contract suit against her. 1979.
Because she wanted to leave. And she wouldn't have been Dolly if she wouldn't have made that move.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The two made up in 1988. They performed together on her TV variety show. She was at Porter's bedside when he died in 2007.
Wow.
Tim McGraw on Curb Records.
It's pretty recent.
2008.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant since we've been here.
That's probably what, 5 years? Was that 5 years ago? What is that?
2008. Dude, it's 2020. That's 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
We weren't here.
So we weren't here then?
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
In 2008, Tim McGraw was working on recording new songs when Curb Records announced Greatest Hits 3. McGraw writes, I'm saddened and disappointed that my label chose to put out another hits album instead of new music. A Curb executive disagreed, saying he had numerous conversations with McGraw's reps about all aspects of the package. McGraw filed a suit for breach of contract, claiming Curb was keeping him in a perpetual state of involuntary servitude.
Whoa. Curb was his original label?
I don't know if it was original, because he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
The official announcement of the album was made August 28, 2008. The album included If You're Reading This, which was such a great, powerful song.
Yeah.
I saw him do... Yeah. So this is about a soldier, and it's the note that if he were to be killed, that you pull the note out and you give it to... And I saw him do this. I went to watch him in, when he wrote that book. Went to a theater, and he played this acoustic.
Yes.
Freaking crazy. After legal wrangling, McGraw won his release from Curb in court. Michael Jackson and Prince.
Don't remember this one. What was wrong with them?
The feud between two of music's biggest entertainers started in 1982 when Thriller outsold Prince's 1999 album. The Purple One then followed up with Purple Rain. And Jackson reportedly attended several of Prince's shows to study him on tour. Jackson later decided to ask Prince to join the recording of We Are the World, but Prince refused. MJ then asked if he would do a duet and appear in the video for Bad. Prince said no. And they just weren't good. They never made up.
Sounds like a little healthy competition.
Sounds like they both were probably a little...
Yeah. I mean, they were both racing to the top.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sure there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. It does sound like Michael eclipsed... Michael's the biggest star I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
The Beatles,
yeah.
Elvis, Michael Jackson... I don't think there's anyone that has appeared and been that large.
No, I don't think so.
As a look at history and what's happened at the time.
Yeah.
And in our life, there's been some big ones, but I don't know as all-consuming as those. In our life, NSYNC, Backstreet Boy, Boy Band Mania,
yeah.
But Backstreet Boy, NSYNC, Taylor.
Jonas Brothers, pretty big.
I don't think I put, yes,
but,
yes.
But for not a long time, but pretty big when...
But I'm talking.
But it's different because, I mean, these bands, the three.
You just compared the Jonas Brothers.
Well, the three that you mentioned, just the span of time that they had as number one is the very top. Like, you can't compare to that. But that's music's different.
Mike, would you put Jonas Brothers in that mix?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
I saw the documentary, man. There were a lot. It was a lot of hype.
They were massive for a minute.
A lot of hype.
For sure, they were massive for a minute.
Yeah.
I would just say that those other acts that I mentioned have just had some yeah. had some longevity.
Okay.
Jonas Brothers doesn't come to mind.
You're entitled
to
your opinion.
The Jonas Brothers from like December to February.
Right.
Were just rocking.
It was short. It was short.
Not longer than that. But they're actually great now.
Yes, man.
Now the Jonas Brothers put out legit
the
music.
Songs are good.
Yeah. I like that. I don't think about you. No. Well, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, sure.
What's a man got to do?
Oh, that's a good one,
What's
too.
What's a man
yes.
got to do?
Yes.
I mean, it's not. Oh, this song's a jam.
It's good.
See, that's how quick I can pivot. I was like, Jonas Brothers, that's stupid. No, but here they're awesome. Here we go. So what's a man got to do? What's a man got to do? To meet someone I'm not
you. See, if they keep it up, they can be as big as those other acts.
Eddie bet the future. He bet a Jonas Brothers future.
If they keep it up.
They keep doing it, boys.
Okay. Tupac and Biggie, which was a weird feud because Tupac wasn't really from California.
Where's he from?
Tupac was an East Coast guy. He was born, right, Mike?
I believe so.
The feud that pinned East Coast and West Coast was... And that was it. That was massive, right? East Coast,
yes.
West Coast. Tupac was robbed and shot in the lobby of a recording studio in 1994 when he was supposed to meet Biggie. And Diddy and Biggie were like, we knew nothing about it. Tupac didn't believe it. They started dissing each other like crazy. Eventually... Tupac was killed. Biggie was killed. Everybody dies.
Yeah,
except the record guys that made the money.
Is this your number one feud?
No, I just have listed a bunch of them here.
Yeah, he was born in Harlem.
Yeah, and that's what was weird about the Tupac thing was, and that's why some of it was orchestrated in my mind.
Mm.
Gosh,
and this thing ended in death
for both
of them.
And you know who? And still, people still making money from them.
Suge Knight, he's still alive?
He's in jail. That guy couldn't stop doing crime.
Yeah, I know, even after it. I saw that video recently of where he like ran over some people. I don't know what showed up on my Twitter or something. I watched that again.
What are you watching right now? Eddie's watching 2002 World Star.
Hey man, it's we're quarantined. What are you talking about? Videos just start resurfacing.
Kanye, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
We know that one from the VMAs.
Oh, that one's terrible.
Taylor Swift, Katy Perry. They were buddy-ish before 2013. After three backup dancers left Taylor's Red Tour to join Katy Perry's Prism Tour.
Oh, how could they?
Taylor accused Katy Perry of trying to sabotage her. And then Bad Blood was a song that was about Katy Perry.
Oh, was that about Katy?
Supposedly, right, Mike?
Weekend? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Then in May 2007, Swish Swish was released from Katy Perry. Remember Swish Swish?
Yeah, I remember
bitch.
That. Yeah.
And so it even had Nicki Minaj, who was also kind of beefing with Taylor at the time. And they were saying Swish Swish was almost like Swift Swift. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what I don't know if it's true. And listen, I have never talked to Katy about this. We worked together a little bit, but.
Would you ever?
No, God, no. I'm not that close to Katy.
You're like, so.
Katy and I will talk if we're in the same room. We're friendly, but like Luke and Lionel, I hang with.
Yeah.
But, you know, that pop world's a whole different world. But yeah, so what I had heard was Swish Swish was from Katy Perry. It was Swift Swift.
Swift Swifts.
Yeah. Okay. We got a couple more of these. Axl Rose and Kurt Cobain.
Ooh, didn't know they were feuding.
In addition to fighting with Slash, Axl had another public feud with the lead singer of Nirvana. When Nirvana came on the scene, Axl Rose was a big fan of the band. But when Kurt started bad-mouthing Guns N' Roses, they started fighting. Axl released a tirade during one of his shows calling Cobain a effing junkie with a junkie wife.
Wow.
You're not wrong.
I mean, Courtney Love was pretty junky.
When they met backstage at the MTV VMAs in 92, Courtney Love taunted Axl Rose and exchanged words with his girlfriend. GNA's Duff McKagan and Nirvana's Chris Novoselic then got into it.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't until Cobain's suicide in 1994 that the members of both groups put the feud to rest.
After Kurt Cobain
died? He died, yeah.
Jeez. I mean, I feel like a lot of people fought with Axl Rose, too.
I feel like he just was up for fighting.
Yes, like
always. He was
always.
Like me the first 3 years of this run.
just swinging
just
away.
Just come at me. Just come at me. Sometimes I'll still get triggered.
Do you still?
Yeah. Well, yes, but I can.
But you can manage it better.
For the most part. I went off on somebody pretty recently, just to them on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
I had a radio guy hit me up and was like, calling me lazy. You can call me a lot of things. Wrong. Ugly.
Oh.
Stupid.
Oh.
I don't care about any of that. Never call me lazy.
That got you.
Triggered. Because again, I try to respond, not react.
Mm-hmm.
I was typing back faster than I could finish reading the message.
So you reacted.
I was just ramming him. And I probably took a couple low shots. I probably shouldn't have taken. I'm not proud of it, but I'll tell you what I did. He hit me and he was like, that's lazy to do. And I was like, all right. So I just hammered him with like three of them. He sits on the back, I hammered him again. And then I just muted him. So I don't even know what he wrote back. Oh, so I never, I don't know
matter.
How it ended. Yeah, I don't know. In my mind, I won because I just muted him. Kid Rock and Tommy Lee.
Is this over a girl?
Yeah, Pam Anderson. Nicki Minaj and Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
They got into it at the VMAs after Nicki Minaj commented on social media about Taylor Swift and all the nominations. Prior to hosting the show, Miley Cyrus told the New York Times that the artist's remarks, quote, sounded very Nicki Minaj, which, if you know Nicki Minaj, is not too kind. And then, of course, they're all at it. Trivial.
Sounds like high school.
You should know it, yeah. Well, my crap's about high school, too.
All this stuff sounds like high school, except Biggie and Tupac.
Yeah, where people freaking died. So, that's what's up. That's fun, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome.
All those fights?
Yeah, I didn't know about 90% of those.
Which one was your favorite?
I mean, obviously, Biggie and Tupac.
I'd like to apologize for jumping on you for the Luke Bryan, Zach Brown thing.
You don't have to apologize.
But you were stupid.
But see, you talked about Axl Rose and Kurt Cobain fighting probably about the same thing. Kurt Cobain was probably like, what kind of music is that, man? It's just trash.
Yeah.
Mine's heartfelt and grungy and cool.
Mm-hmm. Mine's not glam. I don't have any hairspray.
Right. About
it. My favorite one is probably...
And when you say favorite, you're not like condoning it. You're like,
no, most just, interesting. I'm just kind of looking back at them again. Exactly. Maybe Travis Tritt and Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, no. Johnny Cash, Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, that's good
that's
stuff.
That's the winner.
It's good stuff.
Because nobody got
I love that one. That's good.
That is good.
And then it's a big deal for them to invite him back. I feel because didn't they do that with Hank Williams? And
No. There's a difference in getting to play again and being a member. Like, I think.
What did they do with Johnny Cash?
They just told I not to play. I don't know his membership status.
Okay.
Offhand. I would assume he's a member of the Opry, and they may have told him don't come back and not revoked it or did revoke. I don't know. But with Hank Williams, I think they kicked him out of the Opry and then didn't
never play again.
Put him back. I think he died.
Yeah, he died. They probably would have, I bet you, over time.
Yeah, I think so too.
But
Mike, is Johnny Cash a member of the Opry?
He is.
Yeah. So they didn't kick him out.
Okay.
He was just banned.
He was, yeah. You're a member, but you can't get in.
Sorry, buddy. You have the jacket, but you can't come back.
All right. Thank you, guys. Coming up in a second, I'll talk to Matt Jones. Love this guy. Big fan of his work. And we'll get into quarantine music.
Hello?
What's happening, man?
What is going on?
Hey, so on with us right now is Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio, which there is no sports to talk about. So what do you talk about?
Well, we're only a sports show sort of tangentially. We actually spend most of the time just talking kind of about my life and what's going on. So for me, it's the ability to not have to talk about distraction of sports very much and to just be completely self-centered and just talk about whatever's on my mind that day. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
So have you started doing the show in Corona days yet?
We've done... You know, we've done a lot of Corona stuff, but I have not, I've left my house. I'm still going to the studio, although tomorrow might be the last day I do that. I feel like now might as well just do it at the house. But I'm going to be really bored. It's not so much the sports, it's the, like, not going anywhere that's probably going to be really exhausting after a while.
I feel like tomorrow will be my last day in the studio as well. We were just talking about that. By the way, Eddie, my producer from the radio show and my comedy partner in the Raging Idiots is here too. So Eddie, say hi to Matt.
What's up, Matt? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
What if his answer was totally different when you asked him?
Well, yeah, he's told you one thing and then
and he's like, I'm glad you asked.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, he just seemed more excited to talk to me. Like when you answered, it kind of felt like you were like, yeah, whatever, it's Matt. He seemed very eager, and so I wanted to be happy for it.
So with Matt in a few minutes, we're going to do his five quarantine songs. But Matt and I went to dinner, and I've been a big fan of Matt for a while. And so much so, it's like you know somebody on the internet for a long time, and you know, you're nervous before the first date. And it's like we both swiped right, and you know we're finally meeting. And so we go, and we have dinner together. And I get to dinner, and I arrived probably 7 or 8 minutes early. You know me, I'm always a little bit early. Never late, always a little early. And I get there, and Matt is knuckles deep in like his second entree. He's already started eating at the restaurant when Caitlin and I are going. This bowl of edamame dumplings is gone. And I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, man, I've been here for like 40 minutes. Just thought I would get started. Like a little bit off-putting.
Well, here's the thing. You're talking about being nervous. Very rarely do people in a first meeting, one person brings a date, and the other person's just left solo. So I already felt sort of third wheelish, and then you know I thought Nashville would be like crazy traffic because you know we're not from the big city like you all, and so I thought, oh, I better like make sure I give time for traffic. And then of course no one was out because of Corona, so I ended up arriving early, and then I'm just sitting there in this restaurant and all the little foo-foo like waiters and like everybody, like, you know, everybody's so hip and they all have tight jeans and everybody looks hipster. And you know, I felt uncomfortable in my UK hoodie. And so I think they had a look like, okay, dude, are you going to order something? Are you just going to sit here and stare at us? And so I felt like an edamame dumpling was a good like starter course. But yeah, you clearly were very like, why are you eating?
I was shaken. It's our first date and you're eating. You're probably already partially full. So the butterflies are gone. We needed to be an equal butterfly for this. And by the way, I didn't have a date. My girlfriend and I are quarantined together. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go. And she's a massive sports fan. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go and meet this guy that I've been dating on the internet for the past few months. And I was like, he's cool. He won't care if you. So I didn't see it as a third wheel. I saw it as just like three chums.
Oh, now listen, she was delightful. She's awesome. You should make her a bigger part of your life because I enjoyed her. She was funny. She rolls her eyes at what you do, which I think is what somebody like you and I need. So I thought she was great and I enjoyed it. Listen, I was worried about this. Like you're the big star. You're on Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. I did the Lexington Dancing with the Stars and came in third. Not quite the same as winning the national one. And then you're on American Idol. I do karaoke at the local bar. So I was kind of felt a little intimidated. But for people who listen to this and go, oh, is Bobby as nice as he seems here? I want to say, yes, he is. He is exactly like you think. The hair is just as like you know, has as much product as you would think, and he's as nice as you would think.
Well, and also, that's very kind of you. And he was talking about wearing a Kentucky hoodie. I show up in oversized sweats and a T-shirt that's too long for me, like I'm like Sam Hunt meets Chris Kirkpatrick from the 90s and NSYNC.
Well, you look like you were about to paint a house.
Yeah,
you were wearing all white.
So let's not, and it wasn't a frou-frou place. It was a place where you go for healthy food, which, fine line, right?
Yeah, sure.
There's a fine line there. But
in Kentucky, we don't have those. In Kentucky, we don't have, like when I looked at the menu, it was all words I knew, but that were rarely combined. Like edamame, I knew, dumplings, I knew, but I didn't know that they put those two things together for an edamame dumpling. So it was one of those places where everything is like, you can have this here, and they don't have anywhere else. It's a very Nashville thing, but I enjoyed it. The food was great, and it smelled healthy. Like, it smelled fresh, and every drink Bobby got had, like, 13 different proteins in it and stuff. It was very nice.
So we're talking about music a bit, and in Kentucky, Eddie, if I say Kentucky country music, who comes to mind right now?
I mean, just Blake because of his line in Kentucky, but Kentucky
who?
Music? Blake.
Okay.
No, I would go John Michael Montgomery.
I like that. Yeah. Listen, that's a good call. John Michael Montgomery's a great dude, and is from Nicholasville. You know, Kentucky has produced an unbelievable amount of country singers, and in the current world, we're kind of dominating what I think is the sort of new wave of country, the Chris Stapleton, Sturgill Simpson, Tyler Childers branch. So Kentucky's got a long history, and most of the Kentucky country singers have come from like a 40-mile radius in the mountains.
What do you think that's about?
You know, it's a good question. I think a lot of it is the culture in those places. Like, this is it's kind of where a lot of modern bluegrass, well, older bluegrass music started. And then, you know, these generations of singers. So it's in the Paintsville, Johnson County, Eastern Kentucky area. So you had this generation going back of, like, it started with Tom T. Hall, and then another generation that had, like, Patti Loveless and Dwight Yoakam. And then another generation that was like the Judds and all this group, and now this new one. And I think it's just, you know, there's a culture there. Kids grow up playing music at an early age, playing a very distinctive type of music. There's a university there, Morehead State, that has an entire college devoted to traditional mountain music. And I think it just ends up spurring it from the area.
Now, do you know Tyler Childers a bit? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I know him. Listen, it's not like you. Like, I don't hang, and we don't, like, send each other, like, sweet social media messages.
We don't have to roast me with every question, by the way. We can just answer a question.
It's pretty funny, though.
No. I know him a little bit, and he's a great dude. And his music, I mean, it's weird. I've gotten to the age where I now will say that people younger than me are, like, my favorite artists, which is really strange. I don't know if that happens with you guys, but it's weird to say, like, your favorite artist or comedian or whatever author is younger than you. He's younger than me, but he is my favorite musical artist, and it's not even close. I think he's absolutely off the charts talented. And, yeah, I do know him. He's a really good guy.
It is weird when I enjoy something like a Harry Styles record because I'm 39, and I really like the Harry Styles record, and I have to always preface it by going, so my girlfriend was listening to Harry Styles, right? And I like, but it's the same thing. Like, I do, it is an odd thing to really enjoy music made by someone 10 years younger than you. Even some of the Billie Eilish stuff.
Yeah, I think it's because, like, when you like a singer beyond just, like, liking the beat or whatever, when you really like the lyrics and what they're saying, there's a part of that where you're almost saying, like, this person makes me think, or they're deep, or whatever. And it's weird to think that about somebody younger than you. You're like, how can you have this life experience that seems so much more thoughtful than mine? I mean, the older you get, like, that's going to happen more and more and more. But for Tyler, he is, you know, I grew up, I love Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, like, that kind of group of music. And it's weird to sort of feel that, like, same connection with somebody that's, you know, younger than you, but I have with his music, and I think it's awesome.
Who is your favorite artist pre-Tyler? And I'll give you a second to think about that. Mine has been John Mayer and Garth Brooks. Garth, because I grew up in that space of time, was big in Arkansas. That's what I think about when it was like pre-grunge, when I first started to feel music. But John Mayer was the first because him and I are roughly the same age, and he was the first songwriter that ever wrote lyrics where I felt that. Like, I get that. So John Mayer and Garth Brooks would be mine. What about you, Matt?
I'd probably say Johnny Cash and Tom Petty. Tom Petty was the first music that, like, I connected to at all when I was in high school. You know, he put that song out when I was in high school, "You Don't Know How It Feels to Be Me," which is a great song because everybody can think it applies to them, like human being.
That's Wildflowers record, huh?
You don't know how it feels to be me. And then Johnny Cash, to me, is the best musician of all time in modern music. I love everything he did. I love how versatile he was. He was a rebel, but then also did, like, gospel music. He just did everything. And I am a massive Johnny Cash fan.
So what I hear about you is you love Arkansas music.
Oh, listen, I love Arkansas. You know, one of my favorite songs right now is by a bluegrass group called Town Mountain. And they have a song called Arkansas Gambler, which I was going to put on my list just because of your Arkansas connection, and I didn't because they're not from Kentucky, and everybody on my list is from Kentucky. But, I don't really like that you all do the Pig Suey chant, but otherwise I'm a big Arkansas fan. Arkansas and Kentucky have a lot in common.
Socioeconomically, yes. Culturally, yes. I would say that we're a bit ahead in sports other than basketball.
Oh, come on now. I mean, you're not being, like, first of all.
No. Let me talk for a second.
Is it your
Except for basketball.
Like,
we've had a few bad years.
Like 2-75 in the last few years?
But you can't look at the last few years as a macro view of what the program means. Our program is worth a lot more than yours. We've actually won in the SEC. We have baseball teams that play for national championships. We have track teams that win national. We have everything except right now basketball.
You have everything except the two sports people care about, right? I will grant you, your croquet team is much better than
ours. You have nothing in football. You won like four games and you think you're king-dingling in the Southeast Conference.
You know who we beat? We know we beat a lot? You.
Yeah, it was like two puff powders battling it out.
Well, we've actually beaten you the last three times we played you. Once was
Should we look at all-time record, Kentucky and Arkansas?
I don't live in the past. I mean, yeah. William Howard Taft was president once. I don't really deal with that on a daily basis. I talk about what's happening now. And what's happening now is Arkansas, of all the teams in the SEC, you're the one we're second least proud of.
We are having a rough time right now. Sometimes in life, you have a down. You've never had a down, Matt, in your life? It's all been up for you?
Lots of down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yes.
Didn't you bounce back better than before? Because I think right now you're thriving, and that's what Arkansas is about to be.
Yes, no, we are. And listen, we both have produced presidents. You produced Clinton. We produced, Abraham Lincoln. So like, we all have our things.
We're definitely not going to live in the past,
though. Point Matt on that.
No, he can't make a Taft joke about
Lincoln
the
was
past
pretty good.
And then go Lincoln right after that. You at least got to space that out a little bit. Mike, do you have an overall record there?
Not an updated one.
I don't think he knows what to look at. Mike doesn't know anything about sports. Mike's like,
I think in my lifetime, I'm not even kidding. I think in my lifetime, we're either 3-0 or 3-1 against you. I'm not sure, but we do have a winning record. But in basketball, like, come on, you all haven't beaten us. You've beaten us once, I think, in like 15 years.
I'm not arguing about basketball.
Yeah,
there's nothing there. Okay, what we're doing now, I'll produce this information. What we're doing now is Matt has given us five songs that he's quarantining himself up with. We're going to make a big playlist out of this. And so he's the first one to pop his five songs on the list. What is your first quarantine song for the playlist, Matt?
Well, first of all, I picked all Kentucky artists. I mean, I'm not going to say these are my five favorite artists of all time, but if I'm going to be quarantined in Kentucky, I'm going to represent Kentucky. The first one I picked was Dwight Yoakam. Guitars, Cadillacs, and hillbilly music.
Okay, here you go.
And the reason I picked Dwight is Dwight, to me, has the most unique, next to George Jones, the most unique country voice of all time. He's from the hills, and he sounds like it, and I'm a massive fan. And this, to me, is sort of his best song, because what else do you want? Guitars, Cadillacs, and hillbilly music.
All right, turn it up a little bit. Here we go. You know what's weird is, and you can knock that down, is I think of him as being from California.
Yeah, not Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
So,
well, I mean, you can think that.
He ran from it.
But you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when he still lives in California, right? I saw him about 8 months ago, and he was living in California.
No, no, and he does the whole Bakersfield thing, and I think you could say in some ways his musical style is probably more influenced by that. But if you listen to his lyrics, especially his early lyrics, they're all Kentucky-centric. He sings a lot about coal. He sings a lot about mountain life. And so, he would consider himself as much, if not more so, Californian. But his lyrics, especially in the era that I really liked, were very much Kentucky-centric.
And I don't want my friends from Kentucky thinking of bagging on them. I'm just going after Matt because he goes, you can't use Taft, and then he uses Lincoln. That's well, the Lincoln's only unfair part of the argument.
To be fair, Lincoln's a pretty good card to play. I mean, Lincoln is, you know, the best president. Everyone agrees Lincoln's the best president except Trump, who tries to argue he is. But Lincoln is pretty much universally admired.
I agree. I love Abraham Lincoln. Controversial take. I love Abraham Lincoln.
I was about to say, hot take from Martin. He's pro-Abraham Lincoln. Here's the other thing. Did you know this? He's pro-Martin Luther King, too.
Yeah, I am.
Likes him as well.
Absolutely, wow. Yeah.
Let me tell you,
listen, if we're really stretching it, I'm going to say this. You know who's cool? The Pope.
Listen,
and you know who I'd like to hang with? Jesus.
We go
way back.
All right, what's your second song on your list?
So, I wanted to have a female artist. I'm grew up loving the Judds, and then I thought about it, and I wanted though. Judds sing a lot of sad songs, so I picked Wynonna, or as my grandma used to call her, Wynoner. Wynonna Judd's song "Girls with Guitars," which has a great. So if I'm sad while I'm quarantined, I can play this riff, and I'm happy. Girls with guitars.
Do you play guitar?
Not at all, no. I mean, but it also has Vince Gill on it, a good Nashville person there, too. Yeah. He's the one singing the male part in that.
All right, turn this up, Mike. All right, what else you got, Matt?
So my next one is one that probably a lot of your listeners aren't as familiar with.
Don't insult my listeners, by the way.
Well, I mean, maybe they are, but Tom T. Hall. So my uncle was a book editor. And he edited Tom T. Hall's book. And so as a kid, I would see Tom T. Hall. He was friends with my uncle. And I didn't realize that he was like a songwriting legend. He just went in the Songwriters Hall of Fame with Missy Misdemeanor Elliott and John Prine this year. But he has written, as you know, a zillion songs, including ones that people don't even know he wrote, like Harper Valley PTA. But my favorite of them, and I picked this one in part because you're Arkansas and Razorbacks, is Who's Gonna Feed Them Hogs? Which is about a man in a hospital bed who he can't get out, and all he cares about is who's going to feed his hogs.
Here I am in this dang bed, and who's going to feed them hogs? His face was lean, and his hands were rough. His way was hogs.
I don't know if I've ever heard that song.
Not me either, but I dig it.
Yeah, and you know, it sounds like Feed Jake is derivative of Feed Them Hogs.
Oh.
Do you remember the country song?
That's a good call. If I die before I wake, Feed Jake.
Yeah.
Is that the one? Well, the thing about that song, it includes a line that I like. He says, there's 400 hogs, and they're just standing out there. Which, if you think about it, is what hogs do. They don't do anything. They just stand there.
All right.
I like Tom T. Hall, and for you, I picked the hogs.
Relax. Okay, what else you got?
all right, the best voice, in my opinion, just the best pure male voice in the history of country music is Keith Whitley. I think Keith Whitley, from Kentucky, often forgotten, his most famous song, When You Say Nothing at All, most people remember more for Alison Krauss's version. But I think his baritone is the best voice country music's ever had, and so I didn't want to pick one of his really sad songs, like Tell Lori I Love Her might be his saddest song that's ever been written. So I picked Miami, My Amy as my next one.
Jam.
Miami.
So good.
The sing-along there. All right, and we have one more. What do you got, Matt?
Well, I couldn't get out of here without picking Tyler. So a lot, you know, people who know Tyler Childers, they know, like, Feathered Indians and some of his populars. But his most beautiful song is called Follow You to Virgie. It's about going to his friend's grandma's funeral. You won't be able to play it all, I understand, but I would encourage people to listen to it. It's gorgeous. And he sounds more like Eastern Kentucky mountains in this song than any singer you'll ever hear.
And I will follow you to Virgie, 'cause that's what us boys are for, to help you out
when you get weary and you can't go no more. And can't you
see? There you go. I also looked up while we were having this conversation famous people from Kentucky. Oddly, a lot. Abraham Lincoln, Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali.
Correct.
They're all correct. You don't have to correct. They're all right.
That's right.
No, they're all here.
I was trying to chip in since you cut off the part that made me cry in that song. But yes, I was just trying to help. I can give you other ones. George Clooney.
I'm not done.
All right.
Jennifer Lawrence. George Clooney.
No comment.
Rosemary Clooney. Loretta Lynn. Jennifer Carpenter. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who Jennifer Carpenter is either. I should have mentioned Loretta Lynn when I was talking about the Country Music Center. I forgot about from Coal Miner's Daughter. There.
Nick Lachey is from freaking Kentucky?
Yeah. Actually, Nick Lachey's a really nice guy. I was going to make a joke, but I won't. He's actually a really nice dude.
Have you watched Love is Blind?
I have. I can't get through it. I cringe. It just everyone makes me cringe so much that I can't watch it. Do you like it?
My girlfriend got me into it, and I wouldn't have watched it by myself, and I wouldn't have stayed with it by myself, but we enjoyed watching it together because it gave us something to talk about what will happen. It's an interesting concept, too. You put people together, and you see what happens if they can't see each other. So I will say, yes, I enjoyed it, but I think it was because of the overall experience we had more so than the show.
Well, that's what we all hope is for your experience to be good while you watched it. And I'm glad about that. Two of the Backstreet Boys, by the way, Brian Littrell and Kevin Richardson, also from Kentucky.
Jefferson,
Tom Cruise.
Jefferson Davis. Kentucky. Jefferson Davis.
Yeah, I don't talk about that.
No, I think we should spend a second on Jefferson Davis, shall we? The former president of the Confederate States. So you have Abe Lincoln, and you have Jefferson.
I don't want to cause any controversy, but I don't talk a lot. I tend to like my famous people to have not tried to secede from the Union. I prefer people who stayed with us through thick and thin.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not a big Jefferson Davis guy.
Rondo is from Kentucky?
Rondo played at Kentucky.
No.
But that doesn't mean he's from. You guys usually pay athletes from all over the country to come in.
Oh, gosh.
We took your best one when we took Malik Monk, so it worked out really well.
Yeah, that's true. I can't argue with that one. Listen.
Now, Rondo is from Kentucky. Athletically, let's see. Paul Hornig from Kentucky.
We're good with the athletic one. Nobody cares.
I know that
is. Yeah, exactly.
You don't know who Paul Hornig is?
Mm-mm.
That's like for the Packers that won the first few Super Bowls?
Old school.
Bart Starr?
But he's not from
not the same guy.
Okay. Just went by a different name.
Hey Matt, talk about your book for a second.
Yeah, so I wrote a book that is called Mitch Please. It comes out in a couple weeks, and it is about Mitch McConnell, but it's really about Kentucky. I went to all 120 counties in Kentucky, and I sort of wanted to see what the effect of having Mitch McConnell, the human turtle, as our senator has been. And for people who don't know, I considered running against him. So I sort of told the story about considering running against him. I went to every county. It's funny. It's kind of a travel log. It's also sort of an indictment of McConnell. And I do think people will like it. It's a little bit of everything, and I'm very excited. And I've never written a book before, and I wrote one in just a couple months, and I'm nervous about it, but I had a great time.
Well, take it from this two-time New York Times bestseller.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I will take whatever advice you have, John Grisham. Tell me.
I have no advice. Just hold on tight because I didn't know what I was doing either. These podcasts, obviously, these get listened to for weeks and weeks and weeks. Ours do. We don't really have it's not like a daily thing. So what day does the book come out, though? Because some people may be hearing
this. Right now, they say the book comes out March 31st. Now, of course, Corona might be changing everything. I'm not sure. But as of now, it's March 31st. You can order it on Amazon. I don't know if bookstores will still exist in March 31st the way this is all going, but you can order it on Amazon. They'll deliver it to you. It's a perfect thing to read while you're quarantined, and it has a great cartoon on the front of it as well. And it's called Mitch Please, which is a play on Bitch Please. But that was the nicest one I could do with his name. I was going to do Mitch Better Have My Money, but.
All right, there is. Follow him at KY Sports Radio. In all seriousness, I'm such a fan of what you do. And, I was a fan long before we met. I just think how you do it and what you do, especially in this day and age when, it's hard to find distinct voices. And I don't mean texture or tone of how you talk, but I mean people that you really listen to what they have to say. And you're one of those. And I'm happy now that I consider you a friend.
Well, that is very kind. I consider you a friend, and I do want to. I want to say this because I know people. People have a connection to you, and this is the thing that's the best about you. It is very rare for people to have a high degree of success and want to bring along others to sort of like kind of reach and help people. You've done that with me, and I can't thank you enough for that. That's very, there are so few people in the industry that will do that, and you have with me, and I consider you a friend as well, and I really appreciate it.
All right, Matt, have a good Corona quarantine, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you, bud.